So I'm excited to start the panel with our most recent work on the patterns of ASD symptom trajectories in toddlers, followed from 14 to 36 months. There have been studies looking at behavior differences between children who get later diagnosed with ASD and typically developing children as early as the first year of life. But studies looking at trajectories of overall symptom trajectory, which include global symptom levels, encompassing social communication, and repetitive behaviors, are still limited, especially during early years. And then we have limited current knowledge on the patterns of trajectories for specific symptoms, like limited joint attention or emergence of stereotype language. So longitudinal studies are important because they not only reveal the course of symptoms over development, but they also allow us to better understand the prognosis. So there have been a few studies looking at early trajectories, including our work led by Dr. Kathy Lord. And these children were referred for ASD early on around first year of life, and they were followed up until 40 months. And based on the ADOS algorithm totals, we found a group of children who did not get diagnosed with ASD, who showed low stability over time, so low score meaning low severity. And then we had a third group of children with ASD who show severe persistent trajectory over time. And we had two groups of children who were sort of equally divided into two groups, one group of children showing worsening and another group of children showing improvement over time. Using the BabySip consortium data, Sally Ozanoff and her colleagues also found two groups of children showing varying patterns of onset, one group of children showing early onset and another group of children showing later onset with symptoms milder to begin with around 18 months and going up over time. Using the BabySip consortium data, Kasia Varska and her colleagues also found a similar pattern with a subgroup of children with symptoms worsening over time who are in the warm color here in pink, whose autism severity score is milder to begin with and worsen over time. And these children also had intact cognitive abilities as well as verbal abilities, which may indicate that there might be some developmental characteristics that are associated with specific trajectories or onset pattern. So based on these, the first aim of our study was to look at the overall symptom trajectory, specifically to identify clusters of children referred for ASD early on who show different patterns of overall symptom trajectories using the ADOS calibrated severity score that have been calibrated across different age groups and language levels. And we were also interested in looking at developmental characteristics of these clusters. The second aim was to look at specific symptom trajectories. So based on the clusters that I identified, based on overall symptom trajectories, what is the variability at the item level on the ADOS? We were able to gather dense observation from about 150 children. So we had a total of 900 observations followed from age 1 to 3. The average baseline age was around 18 months and final assessment at around 30 months. And all these children at least 2 time points with average 6 time points. And about 104 children were diagnosed with ASD by age 3. And we had high ratio of males. And in terms of looking at the symptom severity, for the methodology, we used the SAS-PROC-TRAJ on the calibrated severity scores. We determined the ideal number of clusters based on the Bayesian information criterion, and then we visualize all our data on our ggplot with a spline function. As you can see here, we found 4 different clusters of trajectories based on the overall symptom severity. One group of children who mostly did not have ASD who showed low symptom severity over time. Again, low score meaning low symptom severity. And then another group of children, a third of children with ASD who show moderate persistent, and another third of children with ASD showing severe persistent trajectory over time. And we also found the one group of children who's showing worsening in symptoms over time. Here, just to give you more details about the graphs, we have fitted mean trends in blue with confidence intervals in gray, and the trajectories of symptoms for individual children are in different dotted lines. I want you to pay attention to the 4 groups because following analyses are based on these 4 clusters that are identified based on the autism, overall autism symptom severity. So we were interested in looking at the baseline and final IQ scores for these 4 groups. As you can see here, the children who showed non-spectrum and worsening trajectories based on their overall symptom trajectories or severity showed persistent high scores on nonverbal and verbal IQ, higher than the other 2 groups. And the most clusters show stability in nonverbal IQ and improvement in verbal IQ, except for the severely persistent group that show mild worsening or stability over time in IQ scores. We were also interested in looking at the distribution of children who develop language later on. So all of these children started with the toddler module, which is appropriate for kids under 30 months without phrase speech. But we were interested in looking at the distribution of children who move on to module 2, which is appropriate for children who have phrase speech. You can see that non-spectrum group has a lot of these children who are moving up to module 2, which is understandable because these are the children who do not have ASD. The worsening group also had a large proportion of children who are verbal. And then also we were interested in looking at the distribution of children with average to above average IQ and found similar pattern with non-spectrum and worsening groups showing a more larger proportion of children with average to above average IQ scores compared to the other 2 groups. So we were also interested in looking at the trajectories of symptoms for social communication and repetitive behavior separately now that we have the calibrated severity score for both domains separately. So for social affect scores, you can see that the stability is pretty high for most clusters. For the repetitive behavior, we see the stability for the 3 clusters, but for the worsening group, we see the increase over time, again, increase in severity. So this might indicate that the worsening we see in the overall symptom trajectory is mostly driven by the worsening in repetitive behaviors for this group. So next, we were interested in looking at the specific symptom trajectory at the item level and on the ADOS. So we focused our examinations initially on the algorithm items. So you can see the list of algorithm items that we've looked at. But we focused our presentation on a few items that showed interesting trends over time. So here we see that the groups who are identified based on the overall symptom trajectories show mostly improvement over time for language and speech items. So for overall level of non-echoed spoken language, we see sharp decrease in score, which is increase in their verbal abilities over time. We also see some mild improvement in joint attention skills, both in initiation and in response to joint attention. Because the repetitive behavior domain showed the worsening for that worsening group, we were interested in looking at what items are actually driving that worsening pattern for that worsening group. So you can see that sensory interest and repetitive interest are pretty stable for most clusters, but for the worsening group, there is a little bit of increase in score, as well as for the stereotype behaviors. For stereotype language, because these children are developing language, and as they talk, some of these stereotype languages are coming on board, we see the slight increase in the score for most of the clusters, including the worsening group. Most items were pretty stable over time for most clusters, and we have just selected two items. Out of the other items that were stable over time for most clusters, you see the facial expression and quality of social overtures stable over time from age 13 to 14 to 36 months. Interestingly, we also found wide heterogeneity, variability in trajectories at the specific symptom level, even within clusters over time. How am I doing with the time? Good. Okay. To summarize, for the overall symptom trajectory findings, we found four clusters with distinct symptom trajectories based on the ADOS calibrated severity scores. We found that there were two groups of children who show moderate persistent and severe persistent trajectories over time. And for these children, symptoms emerge severely early on and are pretty stable over time. And these children might be the ones who were traditionally conceptualized as those ones who show the early onset pattern. We also found the worsening group of children consistent with the studies that I presented in the beginning by our group and Sally Ozanov's and Kasia Havarska's group. We had those children whose scores were initially pretty low, but then symptom severity significantly increased over time. And these children were the verbal children with average to above average cognitive skills. And because their symptoms are pretty mild to begin with, and because these children are smart and develop language over time, they might not be identified readily, but we were able to catch them before age two because we assess these children pretty frequently across a short period of time. So that might indicate that repeated monitoring or routine screening may be important for these this group of children. Another thing to note is that the worsening group who showed worsening in symptom trajectory did not necessarily show worsening other functioning. So their verbal and language skills actually improved significantly over time. Another notable finding is that the worsening in overall symptom severity may be mostly driven by the worsening in the repetitive behaviors for this particular group of children. In terms of the findings for specific item level trajectories, for most children, in the absence of severe, profound, nonverbal and verbal impairments, language levels and amount of vocalization as well as joint attention improved over time, encouragingly. And then repetitive behaviors emerge early on and are stable over time for the majority of children. But for a subset of children who was in the worsening group, symptom levels for specific items like sensory interest, repetitive behaviors, or stereotype language may worsen over time. Lastly, several symptoms emerge early on and are stable over time based on our results, such as limited range of facial expression or quality of social overtures. The symptoms emerge pretty early on and were stable over time, but there is still large variability within clusters, which may call for really innovative methods to take into account the individual heterogeneity in relation to time. That's it. Thank you so much.
we have a couple of minutes for questions, so if you can come up to the podium, and if you have questions for Sophie.
Hello, I'm Helen McConaughey from the UK.
Hi.
I think I've understood correctly that the children were assessed on average 6 times over 12 months. Do you think there's any...
Over about 24 months.
24 months,
yes.
Okay. From
1 to 3 years.
So do you think that there's any possible effect or disadvantage of children being assessed with the same behavioral tool so frequently?
Yeah, so like a practice effect. we had group of children who had repeated assessment pretty frequently, and then we had another group of children who only were seen maybe once a year or twice every other year. And we didn't really find the differences in terms of the scores. And we normally think that because the ADOS is really designed to target the core symptoms that are stable over time, we believe that we don't really see significant practice effects or the effect of repeated assessments. The kids certainly get pretty familiar with some of the tests, but scores are pretty remarkably stable over time. Yeah.